Good morning. As rector, I convened the 2008 annual meeting of the parish of Trinity Episcopal Church Solbury of the Diocese of Pennsylvania. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, hear our prayers for this parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that as there is but one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Sue Evanson, the People's Warden, and I welcome you all to the annual meeting today. If I knew a year ago when Marshall asked me to be People's Warden that I had to lead the annual meeting, I probably would have said no. I should have read the fine print in my job description, but I didn't, so here I am. I too would like to begin with a prayer, and I'd like a moment of silence as we begin. Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with those who take counsel in this annual meeting for the renewal and the mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The very first piece... Oh, it's not loud enough. Angela Johnson is going to be our new chair of stewardship, and she would like to share an experience with all of you. So I turn the mic over to Angela.
Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Angela Johnson, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to serve our parish as a new member of Vestry, filling the stewardship position. My husband, Marvin, and my two sons, Marvin and Tyler, were the stewardship family for our most recent campaign. We thought this would be a great way for our family to offer our time and talent to a church that has added such richness to our lives. We would like to thank all of you for your support during this drive, and congratulations on exceeding our pledge goal. Why I was asked to speak to you today was largely due to a personal conversation I had with Otho Kerr as we met, and he passed the stewardship vestry torch over to me. I was sharing with him how I was affected by the recent letter the vestry sent out to parish members, and how I really wanted to help our church through this time of discernment, challenge, and healing. Several days after our meeting, he called me and asked, would I be willing to share with all of you what I shared with him? He recognized I might not feel comfortable and made it clear it would be understandable if I could not do so. I told him I would pray about his request. As I began to compose my thoughts, I realized God had planted this whisper in my ear during the stewardship campaign. I had an idea that I would be standing before all of you, but I resisted that whisper, and I busied myself so I wouldn't have to listen. And here I am now, on the vestry, and standing in front of all of you. I clearly remember my answer to God being, not now, but here I am, so why, you may ask. I had resigned myself that I was being called to take this vestry position, but I still needed an extra nudge as I sat in the Trinity parking lot one afternoon after dropping one of my sons at church. I prayed to my father, who is deceased, and asked for a sign that I was doing the right thing. He was an Episcopal priest, and I clearly remember the days he would come home from vestry meetings in not so great a mood. We didn't bother him too much on those evenings. And I really felt, though, that Marshall, the vestry, and the church could use my help. I was in deep thought as I was driving home that day, and I had to yield at that little bridge on Street Road to allow oncoming traffic to cross. And I was caught off guard when I realized it was Marshall who was crossing the bridge that day. He did not see me, but I clearly saw him. I had chills and I was deeply moved. I had my answer. I am certainly not a public speaker, so it is my love for God and Trinity Church that has given me the courage to speak to you today. Even if you and I have never spoken, but you are a member of this parish, you are my brother or sister in Christ, and I care about you. When I received the aforementioned letter in the mail from Trinity, I actually read it twice and I thought, wow, there is no section in this letter about what I, not being a member of the vestry yet, a member of Trinity should be doing or working on other than to constantly provide ongoing feedback. To me, there didn't seem to be very much responsibility in that request. What an unbelievably easy job it seemed to me. It left so much responsibility on the shoulders of the vestry and our rector, but very little on our end. And I wanted to contribute more than I had in the past. Please let me share with you a personal encounter I had recently, and my hope is to provide a personal perspective on worship and fellowship. When I worship here, I am fed in so many ways, and each Sunday is different for me. A couple of weeks ago, my intentions were to attend the 11:30 service, and I was really struggling with my sister being ill, and I needed to be in church, so I thought. Upon entering MacArthur Hall, I saw a few visitors, and I just wanted to welcome them to Trinity. And while speaking to these visitors, something seemed familiar to me, but I could not put my finger on it. And then one of the women asked, "Are you little Angie, Father DeBose's youngest daughter?" I said, "Yes, and now you know why I'm a member here." She had been a longtime member of St. Thomas African Episcopal Church, which is where my father pastored when I was growing up. She asked me to please give my mother her regards. The other woman then asked if I knew who she was. I could not place her face. She told me her name and immediately asked me, "How is your sister Ardrice?" I then knew exactly who she was, and I knew she had been a good friend of my sister's. I proceeded to tell her that my sister was in the hospital and was not doing well. I also let her know that my sister had lost her home during this illness, and she would be confronted with that reality while she was in the hospital, in hopes that she would work with the social workers in finding housing, possibly at a group home. My heart was very, very heavy that day. Tears came out of her eyes as she recounted the relationship she had with my sister and how and why it ended. She told me how drained she had become, trying to be a friend to my sister, finally realizing she was more of an enabler than a friend. My sister has had an ongoing battle with bipolar disorder, and that morning I was actually struggling with having to enforce my decision on not enabling her after she got out of the hospital. An intervention we had for her the week before Christmas helped me to be reminded how crippling enabling actually is. The reality was, if she was not cooperative with the social workers, she could become homeless. She held my hand tightly and said she would pray for our family because she knew how hard it was to deal with my sister when she was in mania. At that moment, I had all the church I needed that day. I slipped in the church pew right at communion time, and I was filled up with exactly what I needed. I thanked God for that encounter, And my church service that day was in MacArthur Hall. And that stranger, who was no stranger at all, ministered to me. My pastoral needs had been met. I didn't even get a chance to speak to Marshall, Jenny, Mary Claire that Sunday, and it was okay. Sometimes it's been a friend's words of encouragement, a sermon, a song sung by the choir, a big hug I've received from one of our youth, a hearty laugh back in the kitchen with someone, or that warm feeling I get when I see the kids at youth group interact, that I have felt the presence of God here at Trinity. I treasure how we minister to one another. I know God wants us to love one another even when we're not in agreement with one another. While I'm on the vestry, I'll stand firmly by Marshall, Mary Claire, Jenny, and other vestry members, and especially you, as we strive continuously, keeping our focus on being a unified body in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 states, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." I challenge all of you today to think about, how can you offer up your time and talents? How can you help Marshall, Mary Claire, Jenny, our vestry, and one another to be the Trinity God wants us to be? I pray that we can all be quiet at the right times so we can hear God's whispers.
Angela, that was beautiful. Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to nominate Meg King as the secretary for this annual meeting. Will someone please second that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, so be it. Meg will now be the secretary for this annual meeting. And now I will turn it over to Marshall, who will appoint the warden.
Actually, do you want to do the nominating?
You switched me. Okay. Gotcha. Got it.
Okay. Thank you, Meg, for taking over that very important responsibility. It's my pleasure to announce this year's slate for Vestry, as approved by the 2007-2008 Vestry. The nominations are for Property Stewardship, Day School, and Governance. The Vestry has nominated Richard Dodds, and would you mind please standing up as I announce your name, please? Richard Dodds for Property. Angela John... And maybe we'll just hold our applause until the end. And Angela Johnson for Stewardship, Kim Moore for Day School, Dave Reese for Governance. Governance is a new vestry position, by the way, which is essentially a reformation of strategic planning. It has strategic planning's responsibilities and a few additional responsibilities, including oversight of the bylaws, as well as taking responsibility for the nomination process of new vestry members going forward. And Dave Reese has volunteered to take that over. Kim Sager will be taking over the vestry position for pastoral care. Kim Sager had previously been the vestry member who is responsible for strategic planning. And just a bit more clarification, pastoral care is the result of worship and spiritual life being reformulated into three ministries, one being pastoral care, one being worship and music, and the other being spiritual formation. Please be seated. Thank you. As a result of the changes in worship and spiritual life, and as a result actually of David Griffith stepping down from finance as a result of personal and business matters that warrant his immediate attention, we are going to have a few open vestry positions following the annual meeting. We're going to have open positions for worship and music, spiritual formation, finance, and communications and technology. The vestry will be taking on the responsibility of filling those positions soon after this meeting is conducted in the weeks ahead. And I will leave it to Sue Evanson to conduct the election for these positions.
Are there any additional nominations?
Move to close.
We move to close.
Your new vestry.
At this time, Marshall will appoint our new warden.
It's always in a parish election style, the way we offer this, it always seems kind of anticlimactic after all of this work and nomination that we sort of clap and everybody's on vestry. Next year, I think we're going to have to rig some balloons or something, or some streamers at least, especially as it's an election year this year. One of the quirks of Trinity is that actually in our bylaws, it is not for the parish to elect its wardens, but instead for the rector to appoint them along with the treasurer. And though I've done this every year, I'm actually going to make a special motion and ask for the indulgence of the meeting that Doug MacArthur be nominated and installed as treasurer for duration. In other words, Doug, as long as you can put up with us, we'll put up with you. So. And for 2008, I reappoint Sue Evanson as People's Warden and Otho Kerr as Rector's Warden, thereby vacating and making room for Angela to take on stewardship. So thank you, Otho, for moving to the side and letting Angela step forward to leadership. I usually, and is my custom, ask for the acclaim of the congregation in that. I don't want to do that all by myself as the rector and appoint leadership. I ask for your support. So if by applause or by eyes you would signify assent to the wardens, that would be wonderful.
Okay, at this time, Doug, you're on. This will be the treasurer's report.
Doug, I'm going to walk over there. But I'm only supposed to talk for 5 minutes, but by the time I get over there,
you don't have to worry about hearing much about finances because Dave Griffith will follow me and he will fill you all in everything. I'm just going to talk about a couple of things. One is I think we're fiscally sound, and one of the most successful elements is I generally take care of the church books, but Anita Howard takes care of the cemetery, and that's the best financial outfit in the whole group. We have a Julie Loftus takes care of the, as treasurer of the day school, and they're doing well under very tough times. But this year, as far as the church goes, I think we've done as well as could be expected compared to other churches. We are really financially lucky, I guess, financially sound, and we are pretty well, how should I say, secured against some rough times that may be ahead. So that's not what I usually have to say up here. But since I'm only allowed 5 minutes and I still got to get back to that seat, you better let me go unless you got some damn embarrassing questions to ask. You wouldn't dare. Anyway, it's all in here. Thanks very much.
At this time, Marshall will give his report.
It's a little dancing around the agenda, but we'll get there. Don't worry. I want to welcome you all, and I want to thank you all for being here today. We had a full house for the liturgies at the 8 o'clock and the 9:15, and definitely a full house here. I think we are actually close to record attendance for an annual meeting. I give thanks for the fact that the folks who are willing to give up their 11:30 liturgy today were willing to do so and to dedicate this space and this time to us. I also give thanks for all of you who are preparing for Super Bowl, and I give thanks for all of you who've thrown a couple of dollars into the Super Bowl Sunday soup pot. I think it's really important for us, though, today to do a couple of things very prayerfully and mindfully and in light of Angela's meditation. I think it's very important for us to address the energy that exists in this room and the need for us all, the rector, the wardens, the vestry, the staff, everyone who calls this parish our home, to listen and hear with open hearts and minds and ears, and to celebrate today particularly this Feast of the Transfiguration and how that transfiguration in Christ can change our perspectives. The first thing I want to extend to you is an apology, for some have found me or my behavior as rector offensive over the past 3 years. I think it's very important for us to acknowledge that, both the brokenness in some relationships, but also the fact that there are many whose relationships were not broken are now experiencing pain. I think it's very important for us to point to the reality that the life of Christ is truly, in this place and everywhere else, more than any one priest, any one person on staff, or any member of the vestry or member of the parish can create, sustain, or maintain. I think the letter allowed us that went out earlier this month in a very profound way to share with each other the ways the leadership is working to embrace and respond to the experience of this parish as a whole, the entire family of God gathered. But it is now time for us as a parish to listen and respond to the experience of this leadership, and truly for all of us to deepen our willingness to speak honestly and listen without judgment to each other. We're going to do that in three ways in the coming year. The first thing we're going to do is deepen the dialogue between the rector and the parish with regular and open meetings with members of the parish. I've been working on this with Otho as we've been planning the coming year, and with Sue. And please pardon the alliterative and slightly inane title of this, but it's a working title and it's the best one we've come up with so far. They're going to be held in the chapel. They're going to be called Chapel Chats. I know. Chapel Chats. They're going to be 12 for the coming year. We'll be announcing the dates, and we're going to work our way methodically through the directory, and everyone is going to receive an invitation to participate, to join, and simply be together in dialogue with their rector on those days. Please, when your invitation comes, make time in your calendar to simply come, be in the chapel, pray with your rector, and be in dialogue. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to deepen dialogue between the parish and the vestry leadership, the clergy who serve here, with ongoing and continuous feedback via tools such as online surveys, open forums, clear communication from vestry and leadership, and an open book to you all, that when you have questions, you feel both honored and obligated to raise them personally with me, with the wardens, with the concerned vestry members, and to do so directly and clearly, so that we can directly and clearly answer you. And I want to, with you, work together as a parish to form, implement, and reform a vision that will be created with the staff, the vestry, ministry leadership in this parish, to provide a common and supportive discernment process for mutual expectations of behavior and a clarified common vision for this parish, that we will together enact, form, and reform as a vital and clear community in Christ called to serve the world in his name. We have claimed some amazing achievements this year, and I'd like to hold those up to you and celebrate that. The first, with the hard work and devotion of staff and of vestry, we have balanced the budget this year with only a minor loss less than $3,000. It's the first time in my tenure as rector that's been achieved, and according to Doug, with a shrug of the shoulders and a nod, pretty much the first time in recent memory. We have had a remarkably successful stewardship season, not only with the devotion of Otho Kerr and the stewardship ministry leading us to a balanced budget for this year as well, but also for the hearts and minds and bodies that have filled the step-up dinners, have created energy in our youth, in our adults, in our seniors, and a renewed sense of connection and commitment to each other, and the idea that we, as a body, are called on to sustain the life and ministry of Christ in this place. Through the commitment, the care, the support, and the absolute devotion of people to this parish, we have been able to restore a position of assistant rector to this parish, one that was lost in the transition and took enormous effort on everyone's part to restore, and we have been gifted with the remarkable talents and presence of the Reverend Mary Claire Partee these past 6 months. We celebrate her presence among us, and I also commend you, my brothers and sisters, for bringing her here to us. We have grown as a body. We have given birth to ministries and programs, and we have experienced remarkable change. Many of you know that I'm a fan of spreadsheets and graphs. I am not given to being a slave to numbers, but I hold up to you one of the documents in our annual report, which charts the growth of this parish over the past 10 years. If you will note, both in stewardship and in members, this parish has doubled in size in the last 10 years. We have an enormous amount to learn about ourselves and who we are and how we will be in the coming months. And I enjoin you all, as we begin in this deeper process of dialogue and reconciliation, to participate with your rector, your clergy, and your vestry as we discover what it means to be Trinity Church now and in the future. The other thing that has happened, and believe me, if you've hung out with Jerry Harbaugh at all in the past year, you know this, we have begun to embrace a deepening call to the stewardship of our physical space. It is one thing to joke about lights going on and off or wondering if there's enough heat in the chapel, but after 10 years, this wonderful structure that we have lived in, prayed in, and given our lives and devotion to is starting to show her age, and we have some significant effort to offer in the near future to make sure that this incredible asset of prayer and service to this community and to us and to the body of Christ will continue in a healthy way. I commend the hard work of Dave Griffith on finance and Jerry Harbaugh in the property ministry for the sustenance and the projects that continue to keep this building up around us, warm and lit throughout the year. Thank you. But we have to be honest and understand that we have faced deep challenges together as a community. We face the departure of some vital and beloved staff members as they have embraced new calls and new ministries and new ways to lead in the body of Christ. And we have gone through a very painful and very, very directive discernment process between rector and vestry and parish. We are in the midst of a realignment of leadership and priorities, and I invite you all, in the name of Christ, to participate in that and join us as we seek to heal and grow and evolve. We also face some challenges in the coming year that I look forward to celebrating with you at next year's annual meeting, having accomplished. We are in the process of forming and calling a new director of youth and family ministries. Over the course of February, we will be forming and publishing a job description and ad in the diocese and in the region and in the national papers of the Episcopal Church so that we can draw the finest candidate we can and are able to that position. And God willing, and hopefully by early May, we will be welcoming that successor. I ask you now, And I will conclude with a letter that I wrote to the vestry last month, or just this last month, that you support your vestry in leadership as we look deeply at three questions. Who are we? Who and what is God calling us to be? And how do we treat and welcome each other? What I love about this parish, my brothers and sisters, and what drew me here in the first place and led me to feel a call to serve as your rector, were three simple words that mean more than anything else to me and to most of you, I am sure. And to those of you who are new to them, I hope that you will discover what a life-changing experience it can be to say them, to mean them, and to practice them. We welcome all. More often than not, we think of welcoming the newcomer, but I believe that the time for us to welcome each other as well is now, and to realize that no one in this community will be left out of the opportunity to experience grace, the life of Christ, or reconciliation in his name as the days unfold before us. I'd like to read to you now a letter that I wrote to the vestry in response to the management letter that we have all experienced, embraced, and read. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I have been asked by the rector's warden, Dick Henriquez, for my leadership in how we might move forward through this current situation. And as I lead us forward, it is important for us to not look back, for what we have done in the past cannot be changed. I invite you all tonight to drop from our communal languages sentences that start with, "We should have done X instead of Y." You needed to have or been or done X. Or, "Well, I didn't agree to X in the first place." We all must accept that each one of us was part of the decisions that have gone out from leadership for the past 3 years. We are all then responsible together for the letter and for the current climate of the parish. I will now ask you to listen with compassion and an open mind to the vision I have for this parish. This is the duty of any church's vestry and its rector, to stand united in Christ and committed to healthy and visionary leadership. For my part, I am the spiritual leader of Trinity. As I lead this parish on its journey of faith and service to Christ, I will need support from the vestry in four areas: a promise to uphold our episcopal identity as the primary model of worship and governance, a firm commitment to support the ministries and programs of the parish community and to support each other with a united and loving core to the whole parish, a clear vision created by the entire body of this parish through a healthy process of dialogue and discernment, that together we can distill into a concise plan of how this parish may be able to express being one in the body of Christ. We must also find a clear and healthy system for all communication. Our job as leaders is to encourage every person to embrace compromise and the willingness to speak honestly to each other for the good of the whole and not in order to focus on the parts. I expect that vision to be continually challenged and reshaped by our mutual and prayerful discernment. Together, we need to create an environment that is an accepting, loving witness to Christ during difficult times, as well as in times of celebration. I respect and love you all as people who have a strong and Christ-centered faith and commitment to this parish. I am confident in your skill, your spirit, and your love for God and this church to make a new beginning for all to embrace as we seek Christ's healing light. For several years, we have walked beneath a vision statement that emphasized individual paths to a personal spiritual practice. I am tonight, and I am this morning, calling upon this vestry and this community to examine and reassess how this wording is at the core of the divisions and conflict that we are facing today, and that it encourages an individual path that is of greater value than a common vision. Albert Einstein said, "I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details." When we are one in Christ, when we are one in Christ, all else will fall into place. Christ must be the true leader of Trinity. Christ is our compass, and God's thoughts are our navigation points as we serve our mutual vision and journey in faith. With God's help, together we must find our communal voice and get on with our true call to love one another as Christ has loved us. Thank you. Grace and peace to you all.
Thank you, Marshall. At this time, I'm going to turn this over to Dave Griffith, our financial chair. Is that not right? Oh, I'm sorry, stewardship. Boy, I can't read today. I'm sorry, Otho, and it'll be stewardship. I'm sorry.
I'm pleased to say that this will take all of 2 minutes, perhaps. Stewardship had an outstanding year. The stewardship ministry had, as its objective, a $600,000 pledge objective. We are now at about $605,000, and I'm so blessed to be part of a church family that is committed to doing God's work through this church and by stepping up and making such outstanding pledges. What I will say is that the average pledge for this past year was about a little over 3,100. And we have a report on stewardship inside the annual report, so I won't review everything. But the one thing I do want to walk away having said is that for us to do the kind of work that you keep on telling us you want us to do, we need to increase that pledge and get it up closer, the average pledge up to about $4,000. Right now, as I said, it's a little over $3,100. Understanding that everybody's in a different financial position, but simply in terms of just trying to do what you want us to do at Trinity, we need to get the pledges up. But we had an outstanding year, and I applaud you all. It is a record year in terms of pledges for Trinity. Thank you.
And now I'll turn it over to Dave Griffith with the financial report. I wanted to get you up here.
Yeah, right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good day. It's good when we can come together and we can celebrate many things, and I applaud Marshall's remarks particularly. Let me indulge you just on a non-number moment. You will see that I am stepping off vestry, and I want to be very clear about the circumstances around that so that they do not get misinterpreted. When I came back on vestry a year ago, I made it very clear to Dick, and I thought I had made it clear to Marshall, that this was a one-year assignment. Marshall conveniently forgot that at breakfast Monday.
It's three, yeah.
Well, my wife remembers 30, so. My wife and I have been on vestry for 11 of the 16 years that we've lived in this community, and I was happy to come back again for the 1 year. Just to be very, very clear, I have very specific issues with both personal and with my business. And I step off knowing that we are in very, very good shape, both in terms of leadership, in terms of where we are, and in the things that we need to get done as a parish. But please do not interpret any me stepping off in any way as a commentary on leadership. That would be a mistake. It's simply I'm doing exactly what I said I would do. And now I have obligations of family and business that have a higher calling. Let me just very briefly review the year. We ended in great shape. Despite a year that we went into with great concern, we ended the year essentially balanced. And we did that in a way that I am particularly proud of. The entire vestry and the parish embraced expense control in a way that we have not seen for a long time. And essentially, there's an implemented purchase order system, and the staff and the team really understands that. More importantly, we were able to take $41,000 of expenses out of our run rate in things such as insurance, things the way we handled health care, and a variety of things that we were able to do by tweaking and tuning. One in particular, Jerry Harbaugh, I really have to commend his efforts. We obviously went through a transition with our Sexton, and while we're still tweaking that, I would tell you there's significant financial benefit from doing it the way that we do it now. So going into a year where we were nervous, we end the year balanced, and we carry over unrestricted gifts of some $66,000 for a rainy day fund when that boiler blows, as we know it will. Focusing on the year ahead, we have forecasted a balanced budget. We will fund a youth director. The staff will receive modest raises. We will protect benefits. We will grow our unrestricted funds to some $92,000 with bequests. And we will do something that I have long cherished and hoped for. We will spend some of that unrestricted to do two things. One, very importantly, we will add an additional $15,000 into taking care of the physical plant, which is the first time in a long time now we can do things beyond minimum. And then the thing that perhaps I take the greatest joy in, and for the first time in a long time, we will up the outreach budget some $10,000 over current plan. And with all that, a youth director, a staff, absorbing all the changes, we will end the year, if we continue to practice what we said we will practice, and that is good stewardship. And obviously, when somebody says, gets it in stewardship and Angela in the dictionary, you see they come together. Very well said, and delighted that you're joining the vestry at this particular time. But we all need to step up. But we will end the year with a balanced budget. We will end the year in a place that we won't have to look over our shoulder. Outreach will be improved. And we will still have in the rainy day fund some $65,000, $66,000 for whatever happens that God calls us to. We will be in a position to react without having to look over our shoulders. So, as my dad often said, it was good when I left it. And I feel good about where we are. So thank you.
Thank you, Dave. It's now my turn. If I mess up this time, I'm really in trouble because now it's my report. Most of you do have a copy of the annual report, and I have a longer piece in it, and I ask you to please read it. But I would like to just touch on a few key points that I think are important. It has indeed been a challenging year for Trinity. We've faced a great many obstacles. But I believe truly in my heart of hearts that we will grow because of these challenges, and we will become a stronger parish, a better parish, and we will become what God wants us to be. I am so convinced of that. Some of our wonderful things that happened, Lobster Fest and Mission Philadelphia, were terrific successes, and they will continue in 2008. The leadership is there. The planning has begun. So we're very excited about that. As you heard, there's a timeline that's been set for hiring a youth director, and we are hoping, God willing, that someone will be on board in May. Our outreach projects continue to expand, and with Tabusamo and our Guatemalan, we not only do outreach at home, but we are doing it worldwide. It's amazing. House tour was a terrific success as well. I'm a little bit prejudiced since I was one of the chairs. We had over 200 volunteers that worked that day and behind the scenes. We sold over 650 tickets, which was great. The challenge that we are facing, we need leadership. We need leadership in house tour and many of the other ministries. That's what the parish needs to do. They need to step up. They need to be a part. There are many, many opportunities for time and talent. The vestry with our rector participated in a 3-day discernment process, which we all hope will bring new vision and direction for all of us. One of the things that Otho and I have talked about for our goals for 208 are to improve three things in this parish. One is spirituality, the second is fellowship, and the third is communication. That's what you'll be hearing a lot about this year, those three things. And finally, as I reflect on my year as People's Warden, I wish to thank each and every one of you for the love and the support that you've given me. I felt it. I felt your prayers. I felt some other things too, but mostly your prayers. It truly, truly has been an honor to serve this church, Marshall, Mary Claire, and the vestry. And as I said in my final line of my report, I'm always reminded of how we are abundantly blessed by God in this wonderful, wonderful community. God's peace. Unfortunately, Dick Enriquez, our warden, is not able to be with us today, but he did send a report, which Otho will read at this time.
Trey and I affectionately referred to Sue as the church lady in our house, because I can talk to her literally for hours every day. She is involved in so many different things, and I think sometimes we don't appreciate how much time and talent Sue brings to her position as People's Warden. Dick Enriquez asked me just to read the following. He's had an extraordinary year and has contributed of his time and talent, and he's regretful that he's not here today, but he asked me to read the following. Dear fellow Trinity parishioners, coming to the end of 2 years supporting Marshall and serving Trinity as the rector's warden, I feel blessed by and in awe of the generosity, Christian spirit, and diversity of this parish. Under the leadership of Marshall, the vestry, and with the support of a wonderfully dedicated staff, a growing Trinity actively supports more than 100 ministries, has both a balanced budget and a rainy day fund. And he has an exclamation point in there, by the way. And called the remarkable Reverend Mary Claire Partee to be our clergy assistant. Youth, music, outreach, church school, day school, Tabasamu, the list goes on. Finally and humbly, I celebrate the open dialogue in this community and truly appreciate the willingness of many to share their varied perspectives and opinions, particularly in response to the letter Sue Evanson and I recently sent to the parish with the complete endorsement of Marshall and the vestry. It is through such transparent conversation that we can truly appreciate each other and continue to be led together by the Spirit of Christ. Sincerely, Dick Enriquez. And I just want to thank Dick. As long as I have the microphone, I just wanted to share some perspective. And one is, first of all, as Sue said, we've charged ourselves with three themes. One is to focus on spiritual formation opportunities. I think there are plenty of people who find spiritual nourishment here at Trinity, but I think that we haven't provided enough opportunities, and we'd like to take an intentional look at that. We also would like to provide more fellowship opportunities outside of the sanctuary, making sure that you get to know one another a bit better and in an informal basis. And we want to improve communication. We know that the vestry has to have a better sense of what the parish is thinking and vice versa. The parish has to have a better sense of what the vestry is thinking. The last few months have been challenging, and I have a real good sense about this year. I sense increased joyfulness, and I sense that we're going to have a really fruitful year going forward. But I want to share a thought with you, and that is the thought of what this challenge has actually provided us an opportunity to do. Back last spring, Caroline McCarthy had said to me, I see God in the mix here. She sensed that there were a few people who were feeling challenged. And Sue Evanson actually said to me, you know what, I'm excited that Marshall's here because I know that God sent him here for a reason. And I think one of the gifts we've had in light of all of these challenges some of us have faced and others have not had to deal with, but I think all of us are forced to ask the question, what is church all about to begin with? What is Trinity about and what is this church about? We're holding mirrors in front of ourselves and saying, this is an important place for us, but what's it all about? And I think some of us have found uncomfortable answers, and some of us have found terrific answers. For some of us, coming to church is going to the place with the perfect steeple, with the perfect organ, with the perfect beautiful children running around, with the perfect rector. They want perfection in their church. And I think that it's not unfair to ask for all of that, but is that what church is all about? We have the wonderful opportunity, being part of the Tabasamu team, Meg and Kyle and Trey, going to Kenya, and I guarantee you they don't have perfect steeples. They don't have a perfect organ in their churches. They have beautiful children and perfect children. And, you know, as far as a perfect rector goes, most of the churches that we come into contact with don't even have rectors. The churches are led by the people of the church. And it causes us to think, well, what is church all about? And I think to some extent they understand what church is about. It's about those people working to do Christ's work, leaning on one another, teaching one another, and really relying on one another to do what we're really called here to do. It's not about the steeple. It's not about the rector. It's not about the organ. And I ask us going forward to think about our contributions to Trinity and what is Trinity and what is this church all about. I want to thank people who've taught me what church is all about. I thank David and Mary Lou Stewart because they've taught me that, you know, despite all of their years of being here at Trinity, rectors come and go with their attributes and with their imperfections, but what Trinity is all about are the people who've been here over the years. I want to thank Trey and the Powells because they've taught me that church is not about boundaries. Christ Church is a church that is worldwide. It's working with people in Guatemala. It's working with people in Kenya. And I want us to remember that it's about working with people here in Lambertville as well, but there are no boundaries. I want to thank Lindsay McBride and Ali Bowe because they've taught me that regardless of how old we are, doing Christ's work requires sacrifices. They, understanding that there's some people faced with illnesses and challenges associated with those illnesses, might benefit from having their hair cut off. Allie and Lindsay had their hair cut off, had the hair made into wigs, and those wigs are now servicing people who are faced by some of the challenges due to their illnesses. I want to thank Ann Caberna and people like Sandy Ryan and Jay McNeil, because they've taught us that being part of Christ's world, doing Christ's work, doing the work of God, it involves stewardship and focusing on the environment. And Ann Caberna has certainly brought some energy in that vein with regard to her paperless Lenten Sundays. Alan Black has taught us that doing Christ's work means thinking less about the bishop when we're talking about the diaconate pledges and focusing on those churches who benefit from our pledges, those churches in Philadelphia who might otherwise suffer financially if we didn't send in our diaconate pledge. I want to thank people like John Hayward, who know that doing Christ's work means bringing our own particular skill set. John spends a ton of time, and he has with me, working on our website and getting the message of Christ out there to this community and to the world at large. I want to thank people like Kyle Evans, who says, you know what, doing God's work and doing the work of Christ just means sitting and listening to those of us who need somebody to hear what we're going through. And I want to thank people like Gail and Jerry Harbaugh, who always ask the question, well, is it to do God's work? Is it to do the work of Christ? Well, if it is, then I'll do it. Yes. And all they do is they step up and they reach out in whatever way they can to do the work of Trinity, to do the work of the vestry, to do the work of Christ. So I ask you going forward, instead of thinking about the organ, instead of thinking about whether or not we have the perfect steeple or whether or not the rector is doing a perfect job, all of that's important. But think about what you're doing for this church and what you can contribute, because I know there's so many of you who want to do Christ's work and can lean on each other and learn from each other, and that's our hope going forward in 2008. Thanks.
I now turn this over to Marshall for the summation and commendation of the annual report.
The summation of the annual report is simple. Those of you who have a copy or took one home, please read it. Not just the graphs and the squiggly lines, but also the many words of the devoted servants of this parish who have offered their heart and their soul to this community over the course of the year and give their reflections to you. Please do take this with you home. You can download it off the website. You can continue to review it and let it be a barometer for us of this moment as we move forward. I also want to take a moment of personal privilege to thank several people individually and by name who have devoted their lives, their hearts, their souls, their time, and no small degree of blood, sweat, and tears to the service of this parish. First of all, to Debbie Stedman, our parish administrator, who those of you who volunteer in the office and have contact with her know that she spends more than her few hours of the week committed to this church in its service and gives her heart and soul off hours and on hours and calls her rector on Saturday mornings to let him know that he needs to do X by Sunday morning again and again. She is truly a wonderful gift to this parish, and we give thanks for her. I'm going to do these in sequence, but we'll get everybody in time. I have been given some wonderful companions in Christ for the program support of this parish, not least of which is my colleague, the Reverend Mary Claire Partee. She has moved in with a sense of gift and authority and grace and commitment to this parish. I am so happy to have her with us and to support her and her calling to serve this altar and to serve with me the pastoral needs of this congregation. I thank her for her presence amongst us now. Though you see her often moving around the church during the day because she is the director of the day school, you don't often see the off-hours work that Cindy Bove puts in and devotes to this day school. Those of you who have been close to the day school over the past couple of years know that it has been an incredibly fluid and changing environment, that we have literally had to rewrite the business plan and the organization of this day school so it can continue to survive. We had to shut down our kindergarten with the change of the New Hope Soulbury school system's commitment to full-day kindergarten, and that definitely threw a wrench in our plans. And as she begins the close of this decade and hopefully the beginning of another one, I hold up to you Cindy Bove as a director of the day school who gives life, devotion, heart, soul, prayer, and mind to this day school and to those who have been given to her in their charge. And she carries on Prue Day's legacy of leadership to this parish. Those of you who know priests and organists in your lives know that it is a very intense and wonderful relationship, and to have a good relationship between your priest and your organist is a very good thing for a parish. And I am beyond blessed to have Tim Harrell here. He is not only a talented artist and an amazing director, he's also someone who has brought to us the incredible gift of some of the most world-class talent you can possibly find, and he is a world-class talent himself. But more than anything else, he is my personal friend and someone whose liturgical, artistic, and spiritual presence I could not function without. Thank you, Tim Harrell. I'm sorry to take up your time, but please indulge me. There are three people who have cycled off staff in the past year who, when I arrived, not only proved themselves to be quick colleagues, but also able friends. And through the ups and downs of all of our experiences together, I have been blessed to call them companions in Christ. I have been guided, taught, supported, challenged, affirmed, and brought to a deeper understanding of what it means to be a priest and a son of God in this place, and I give thanks for them. Caroline McCarthy, for her time as lay assistant, laying the groundwork, the foundation, and preparing a vineyard that is truly admirable and a grace and a gift to this parish, and one which Mary Claire assumes with no small amount of trepidation as she rises to lead in that ministry. For Kyle Evans, who perhaps more than any other person in this parish, has been to me a friend and companion in life's journey, and whose honesty and grace and spirit have taught me more than I can possibly ask or imagine. I look forward, dear daughter in Christ and sister of mine, to seeing what new adventures Christ has for us in the coming years. I have learned long ago that it is best to follow and see where you go so that I might know better where Christ is leading me. Thank you. There are two people that many of you do not see too often, but see their names on the masthead. And one of those is Cindy Baker, who has left our service to discover new journeys in Christ. And I celebrate her work amongst us. Many of you who call the parish know that if there's anything going on in your lives and you need pastoral care, the first line of connection is her. And though we are loath to lose her, she has already, in fact, worked with us as we seek a successor, and we continue to hold her in friendship. And there's another person that you hardly ever see except when you're trying to get money out of the church, and that's Ann Yarnell. She is truly a wonderful asset to this parish. She is one of the great bright talents, and the fact that she can manage Dave Griffith, Doug MacArthur, Julie Loftus, Debbie Stedman, myself, and still not run off screaming into the night is beyond admirable, and she does it all in part time. So I raise up to you those two individuals and ask your applause as well. And finally, then I'll step away for new business. I will also thank Renee Leister and Parish Life and all those who labor for hospitality to make this community warm and inviting, for the coffee, for the scones, everyone who baked. Thank you very much. We'll try to move through the last portion of this meeting as quickly as we can because I know that the pregame is starting soon. And there was one last note, and I see Julie Bird looking over there at me with an arched eyebrow. There were three things that I promised the youth last Wednesday night that I would make sure I would affirm for you all so you can hear them clearly. The first, and I think you hear it, is that we do have a timetable for a successor for the youth director and director of church school, and that is secured and we're moving forward with it. And by the way, Julie, you're probably going to get a call to join a committee. The second thing is that we are committed as a body to our youth and to all the ministries of Trinity Church. This is not any particular focus, but a general awareness that if we do not care for the whole body suffers. And right now, my brothers and sisters, we have a call to find, search, and participate with God in the discovery of the next director of youth and church school ministries, and I look for your support in that. And finally, and I think you hear it, youth, that we are committed to you, as you have been so ably and loyally committed to us. Thank you for your patience and for your witness amongst us here. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to open the floor to any new business. Yes, John.
I know that many of you have been on Vestry, and it's one of the things that struck me when I was in that position. It's a very hard job at Trinity, and we really owe so much gratitude and thanks to these people who are leaving and who have now committed to come on to Vestry. It's a very complete, all-embracing job. In addition to their regular day job, quote unquote. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who has served and is continuing to serve.
The floor is open. Yes.
Hi, I'm still closing. I just had a general question. Do we know when we'll be getting our
Yep.
Have any of you ever seen Debbie mad? Yes? Raise your hands if you have. Jill, Debbie is mad. She has regular calls to the directory company. One of the things that is always a challenge when we go to an outside commercial directory management is that we always face a lag. I'm hoping that we get them in within the first quarter of the year. As soon as we get them, you will have them. And that's just the challenge of having that service. One of the reasons we have tried to work internally in creating our directories is that when we control it, we can also produce it. And probably what we'll do is that we'll alternate in cycles so that everyone can get their family photos to everybody, but we'll probably be doing it locally again in the next couple of years just to keep us up to date.
Questions? Comments? This can't be Trinity.
It is Super Bowl Sunday.
Take the order. Motion for
adjournment. Barry.
The comment I think I'm making is towards Trinity. And one of the things that I've been feeling in Trinity, I think has been helping, is to be open with each other. But more importantly, to be open in community. I'm looking forward to the meetings that will happen 12 in the next year. I hope that they include all of the parish. I hope that we participate in that. I hope that the conversations stay out in the open. I feel that as a person, personally, and in our family, difficulties were never addressed in a constructive way unless they were open. And certainly we have plenty of them. So to be a parish, in the presiding bishop's words, she was being interviewed for possibly being called to a parish. And she asked the vestry, do you have any problems? And they answered, no. And she said, I knew then that my ministry is reconciliation. My ministry is to be in conflict. And look where she is today, conflict in the whole world. And I admire that, standing in conflict, not just asking for unity at first, but to be listening. And so I thank the ministry and Marshall for doing that. Opening in that letter, it was important for us.
Thank you, Barry. I will ask one more time. Does anybody else have any additional comments? Yes, Carol. Thank you, Carol. Before I adjourn the meeting, I'd like to share one additional prayer with you. It's called a prayer of... Oh, there is one more. I'll put the glasses back on. Yes, sure. Absolutely.
They'll be published. They'll all be published outright.
Any other questions? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. This actually, the draft of the timeline that we have is just now circulating between John and the Warrens and myself. I can give you a brief nutshell look at it. Next week, we'll be meeting at the vestry level with HR to make sure that we can codify and create a concise job description. The next thing we're going to do is pull a small group together as a search advisory committee from both ministries, the youth and the church school, and that date will be set hopefully within the next 2 weeks. In the next 3 weeks, we'll be advertising the position, and I'm hoping that by the time we get to the first week in March, we'll start to get resumes. The week of and after Holy Week, Easter week, we'll be reviewing those resumes, and God willing, we'll start the interview process the last week of March and the beginning of April and close on a final candidate, hopefully so that we can get somebody in place in early May. So that's about as tight as I can make it, but again, it's really a God willing moment, because we've got to match schedules here amongst the vestry and also amongst the HR group, and also to make sure that we can get into everybody's niches in terms of making sure the notice of that position comes forward. I've already been in touch with Jill Mathis at the Diocese of Pennsylvania, and I'll be contacting the Diocese of Newark, Bethlehem, and New Jersey, their deployment officers, to let them know that we're looking for a director of youth and church school, and the degree, complexity, and level of this parish and of the position, we're looking for someone who's professional, is going to be able to help sustain, grow, and continue to evolve the program as we go. You're welcome.
There's one group that did not get thanked, and they have done an absolutely Herculean job, and that's the HR committee that is made up of Betty Stagg, Gene Evans, and Beryl Hirsch.
Julie
Loftus, thank you. I think we need to give them an enormous round of applause. They've put together a handbook for all employees. They have had oversight on job descriptions. The list goes on and on. They have worked tirelessly on multiple projects that will benefit Trinity Church. So I thank them from the bottom of my heart. You've done a wonderful job. If there are no other comments, yes.
Yes. No, it isn't. And thank you, because one of the issues that I'm still working on is detail management, and one of the things that I did leave off of my report is that as we move forward and work towards maintaining and continuing to grow Mission Philly and Lobster Fest, and in the realization that we were facing an interim period with the generous gift of the Gil Weber Family Foundation, the vestry and I have been able to retain Kyle Evans as a consultant to us to sustain and support the committee chairs and heads of the events, so that as we move forward into Lobster Fest and Mission Philly, we've got not only a record and a support of someone who's done it and done most of it for a long time, we've also got the continuing experience of Kyle to support the leadership as they assume responsibility. And also, we're not saying to the new youth director, okay, here you go, good luck, nothing's been done, and we're moving on. No, it's not going to happen that way. We just, first off, the events are too big, and we can't afford to take that position. And also, by the grace of God, you know, Kyle's got some time for us, and we're really thankful for that. So we are covered for Mission Philly and for Lobster Fest. As of this point, you know, again, God willing, we'll just keep moving forward and working hard on it. But yeah, you're right. We won't be just dropping them in the middle of. I think that happened once before.
We're not
doing that again. No.
This is the last and final time, or forever hold your peace. Gene. Oh, Gene has asked me to remind you that there is a pot out there for Super Bowl, and to please donate something for this wonderful, wonderful cause. Tim.
Please, and Jen, I ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me in that. Those of you who know Jen, she is one of the original 12. And when we were looking for an interim person who could take on and support and guide the Wednesday night meetings, she stepped up. Jen, beyond words, thank you. You have been a pastor and a friend to the youth. You've sustained them in grace, and thank you so much for what you're doing. We could not succeed without you. I apologize for leaving that out. I thought I had everyone. I had a list, and I left Jen off. I apologize.
Thank you, Marshall. This is it. No more. I would like to say, just give a prayer here, and it's a prayer of reconciliation, so I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and listen. Listen, listen, listen. Life teaches us that although we try to change others, realistically, we can only attempt to change ourselves. Yet so often, reconciliation is viewed in terms of changing other people. And so I say that for each of us, reconciliation must take place first in our own hearts, wherein each of us confesses and acknowledges that we have made our own contribution to any disunity and separation that to some degree exists among us. It is my fervent hope and prayer that we shall receive the gift of healing and reconciliation and true unity, which is the only the Lord's to give, and comes simply from the willingness to open ourselves to receive it. At this time, I ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I have a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Of course not.
Mary Claire,
Mary Claire, that's closing prayer.
Wait. Not quite yet. We've got to pray us out of here, so I'll do it quickly. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.